Turning this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. Again, if you're using the church Bible, that's page 968. Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, friends, we've come this morning to our final message on this Sermon on the Mount. We began it, if you were with us at that beginning, way back in January. And this is now our 27th and final study upon it. And what a tremendous sermon it is. So full of doctrine, so full of teaching, so much that is helpful practically, so much instruction about how the righteousness of God should be applied to our lives, that it should never remain in our heads only, but that it should be applied to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. And this is really what Christ is getting at as he comes to the end of his sermon. He is applying his message, and he's going to finish off with a little bit of a bang in the way he completes his sermon. Not so much in a raised voice. Some preachers end a sermon with a raised voice to emphasize what they're saying. Not so much with earnestness and a pleading, as we often do in the gospel services, when we're pleading with sinners to repent and come to the Lord, to give their hearts to the Lord, but with a parable, with a story, you could say. He ends with a story, but a story which has a mighty crash at the end of it, as a house that was built comes crashing down when the rain comes down. Well, we'll look at that in a minute, but all is being said by Christ, a story with a view really to get his message home to his listeners. This is so vital. This is so important for you, he says. They sat there, they've been hearing the word, they've been lapping it all up, they've been enjoying what they are hearing, and the Lord says, you mustn't be hearers of the word only, but you must be doers. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them. And he's going to show to them and to us, we must build our whole lives upon the words and sayings of Christ. We must build our whole persons upon his sayings. Failure to do that will lead to catastrophic ends for us. Failure to do that has eternal consequences. Oh, friends, that's why once again, this is so vital. Just like last week, we were looking at those previous verses. And verse 24, actually points us back, because you'll notice there we have a therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What has Christ just been talking about? Well, we looked at that last week in detail. He's been talking about those who have a profession of faith, those who name the name of Christ, but are not really true believers. And Christ said in his day, just like in our day, there are many of people like that. Many who still say, I am a Christian, I follow the Lord, I call myself, what religion are you? I'm Christian. They will be very quick to say that. I go to church every Sunday, but the Lord says he doesn't know them. The Lord said in a very searching way. He said, these are deluded people. They've gone through their whole life thinking that they were believers for some reason or other, but the one big thing that was missing in their life, even though they did miracles and said long prayers and did many other religious things, the one thing that was missing, the heart of was missing, was they didn't do God's will. They didn't follow the Lord's sayings. This is what was missing in their life. So the miraculous they had, amazingly, and the religiousness they had, Christianity, you could say they had, some faith in Christ, but it wasn't a saving faith that changed them and made them into those kind of people who are concerned to do the will of the Father. This is where real grace is, friends. One distinguishing mark that encompasses all the other marks that a believer has is he does the will of God, or she does the will of God. And you can see it in their life. It's evident. The will of my Father in heaven, the Lord said there in verse 21. They're not a doer of the word, hearer of the word only, but also a doer. Well, Christ now takes up this parable because he wants to emphasize this point. Thousands are listening to him on that mountain. He said, directing it to his disciples, but so many other people are hearing and appreciating the things that he says. We see this even in verse 28. At the end, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They thought it was wonderful. They were knocked over with admiration because of the way he said it and because of the things that he was teaching. And this is how they felt. And the Lord's, well, to think of this way in the Savior, well, that's good enough, the Lord. That's good, rather, but it's not enough. It's not enough to just admire Christ and admire what he teaches and admire the way he teaches it. No, friends, he says you've got to go further. You've got to be more than a hearer. You've got to put it into practice. You've got to take it for yourself. You've got to adopt this in your life. It's got to regulate every part of your life. This is what he means. Well, Mark 6 and verse 2, there we read another occasion. Christ was in the Sabbath and he was teaching in the synagogue. And there we read, when people heard him teach, even there, oh, they were astonished at his words. And it said, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And then Luke 19, we read that all the people were very attentive to hear him. And because all the people were listening to him, and he had a following, well, the Pharisees who wanted to get rid of Jesus sooner than they did, they didn't like him. Very soon they turned against him. They couldn't because all the people were listening to him very attentively. Mark 12, 37, the common people heard him gladly. So you see, you could say in one sense, the Lord Jesus was a very popular preacher and he had a great following amongst the common people. And many went, yes, it's true, to see the miracles, but many went just to hear him speak and to hear his teaching and to listen to his words. Never heard anything like it before. They never heard such a preacher before. They're going to go on to say, he didn't teach as the scribes, and we'll come to that later. But they were sitting there under his ministry, enjoying the things that they heard. But were they doers of the word, or just hearers only? So many, I'm sure, did believe truly and did take on board what Christ is saying here. But sadly, friends, we think a vast number of those who are listening didn't take on board and didn't put into practice the things which Christ said. You remember on Christ's final day on this earth, or final day of his earthly life, that he was there and Pilate presented him on the one side with a crown of thorns on his head, and the Lord Jesus, and on the other side is Barabbas. And he said to the crowds, well, who do you want? Who shall I release unto you? the king of the Jews, or this thief, this robber, this murderer, which one do you want? And the crowd cried out for Barabbas. What's happened to his popularity? What's happened to the popularity of the Savior? They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Well, friends, you see, to do is so vital for us. Now, when the Lord says here, whosoever heareth his sayings of mine and doeth them, he's not just talking about performing what he says. As I've already sort of intimated, his sayings, his teachings have got to be conform our whole inner man as well as our outer man to what he is saying. So that means our character, our feelings, our desires, our aspirations, our views of life, the way we do things in life, our attitudes, everything has to be regulated by the sayings of Christ. It has to be brought into conformity with the word of Christ. So it's a constant sanctification where we see there is a discrepancy between the way I'm doing things and the way Christ wants me to do things. The believer says, I've got to change. I've got to adapt to the way that the Lord is directing me. And that's what it's in mind. It's not just a matter of doing outwardly the things. The whole life is behind these things. And so, friends, we have to ask ourselves, isn't it, before we go any further, what are we hearers only of the Lord's word? Do we like listening to sermons? Well, that's good. I hope you do. I wish more people would listen to sermons. Perhaps you think, yes, it's a good to have it's a good half hour well spent to hear God's word. Perhaps you, during the week, you listen to many sermons on your playlist, and all that's good as long as the preacher you're listening to is sound and a good preacher. But is it listening only? Is it listening only, friends? Or is it putting into action? Are we being transformed by the words of Christ? Is it really making a difference? Am I taking seriously the things I'm hearing so that it's affecting my thinking, it's affecting my feeling, it's affecting my reactions in life, it's affecting the things that I pursue in life, it's affecting my lifestyle, my attitude. It permeates every part of my life, not just the outward actions. Or is it something else? Is it something else that's molding me and shaping me? Because if it's not the words of Christ, then something else is forming me. Human ideas or human opinions or some other thing, ourselves, maybe our own ideas. Something is shaping me in life. We're not just independent free thinkers. Maybe the world is shaping us into what it wants us to be. Well, that may be true of you. Or if you're a believer, it should be the words of Christ. This is what should shape us. We've been looking, as we said, at this Sermon on the Mount for a while now. Has it shaped me? Has it shaped you, friends? Has it changed us? We looked at how Christ expounded the Old Testament law. Well, that teaches us the Old Testament is important. He was expounding specifically the Ten Commandments. That teaches us the Ten Commandments are important for me and for my life. I cannot just put them to one side as a believer. I have to take them and apply them. We learned the Lord taught us that to be angry without a cause belongs to the murder family. If I'm angry with my brother for no reason, well, that's not right. And has it affected me? Do I restrain from anger? When I'm provoked, do I hold back because I remember these words of Christ? Does it affect the way I look at women or the opposite sex, look at men? Oh, friends, because the Lord taught us just a look of lust is committing adultery in the heart. Has it curbed my way of my lust? Has it affected the way I now treat the opposite sex? How do I feel about my enemies? Do I love my enemies? Or do I still get angry and hate those who rise up against me? We heard that Christ said, lay not up treasures for yourself on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Well, am I doing that? Am I saying, yes, that's true. That's what I need to do. That's how I need to invest my time and all that God has given me, laying up treasures in heaven. Now, do I forget that injunction? Am I still worried? We all have problems. But are my problems so anxious and so worrying that I've gone past the Lord and I'm handling it all myself? And I think, well, I have to do something about it myself. Praying is not really helping. And trusting is not really helping. But the Lord said, your Father knows what things you have need of. Why are you so anxious? Tell him about it. Trust him for it. He will bless you. He will help you. Oh, friends, this is how we sort of put our the Lord's teaching into practice. But let's come to the parable itself. Here we have two men, two builders, and two houses. And we read, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now Palestine, as I'm sure some of you know, was a land full of hills and mountains, and I used to go through some very dry patches, long periods of time, months after month, without any rain. And then all of a sudden, the rain will come, and it will come down in torrents, and unexpectedly, and the streams that were on the mountains would become a river, and those waters would come rushing down the mountains and would sweep away anything that is in its path. So any houses which were built on sand or other a shaky foundation will be just easily swept away. And that was how things were. That was how the weather was in that place. And so when I was writing this sermon yesterday, it suddenly became dark. And the rain came down, and it was quite heavy rain. Thankfully, it was only for a while, but it was quite a strong rain. You might remember yesterday, but this is what the usual was often happened in Judea. Well, one man, the Lord said, knowing that this is going to happen, being aware that the geographical and meteorological land was like that, and he decided to dig deep into the earth and to clear away all the sand and the stones and the rubble that he found along the way. And he dug and he dug and he dug day after day. And he was digging all the way till he came to the rock. That was hard work for him. And it was sweaty work. It was difficult work. And at times he was tempted, oh, maybe I should give up now. But no, he kept on digging and digging until he got to the rock. And when he got to the rock, then he said, here is where I'm going to lay my foundation. And he laid his foundation, and then up went the superstructure, up went the house, and then, only then, did he move in. But it was hard work, and it was timely, and it was costly for him to do that. Maybe it took months for him to build that house. The other builder, also knowing what the weather was like in that situation, did something completely different. What he did was, he said, I can't be bothered to build, lay a foundation. I can't be bothered with all that hard work. I just want the house up and running now. I want to enjoy it as soon as I can. I don't want to, it's going to, my bank balance is going to go down if I employ workers or do it myself. It's too much trouble. I'm not even going to dig that far. And he doesn't even lay a foundation, we learn from Luke's gospel. He just built his house on the sand and the surface, almost, we could say. And what happened to him? Well, the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Well, friends, this is the parable. What does it mean? What's the Lord getting at? It's obvious, isn't it, really? What's this foundation upon a rock that the Lord is talking about? It's the true and faithful sayings of God. It's his sayings. It's the teachings of Christ. And what the Lord is saying, this wise man who built his house upon the rock is like unto a wise man, a person who hears Christ's words and then adopts it as his philosophy for life. His worldview. This is what I'm going to follow. This is who I'm going to follow. This is who I'm going to take to be my guide through life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has told me how to live life. I'm not going to go my own way. I'm going to go his way. I'm going to do as he tells me to do. I'm going to think as he tells me to think, because I know who he is. I know he is the Son of God. I know he has come into this world to give eternal life to all who believe in him. I know him because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. He cannot lie. I've seen that. I know that. Oh, it's the best thing in life that I can do to follow him, to give my life over to him. And the building, well, what's that? That's the life, friends. The life that this man was building, the house that this man was building is our life, our character, that's based upon what Christ has said. It's a life that is governed by the word of Christ. Here is this man. He doesn't sit above the words of Christ and in judgment of them. He sits below it. He's under the word. The word is telling him, directing him, guiding him how to do things. It's regulating his desires. It's telling him how to be and how not to be. He began with repentance. He began when he first realized, oh, he's been living just for himself. He cannot go on in that way. He cannot go on in that independent way. And he turned from his sins and his self. He turned to the Lord. He repented of his sins. He used to sing, I did it my way, like that famous singer. But no, now he says, I don't do it my way. I'm doing it his way. I'm following somebody else. His whole life has been turned around. Now he says, he calls Jesus his Lord, and he means it. You're my Lord. I'm your servant. I do as you tell me. He follows the Lord. No, he doesn't lead the way. And he's making decisions. He is seeking the Lord's mind. He's no longer self-employed, his own boss. Can do what he likes with his time. Can do what he likes with his employees, himself. He's no longer that. He's under new management. He's constantly changing this person, bringing every part of his life into conformity with the word of God. Friends, this is the wise man. But just before we go on to that foolish man, what is this great and terrible storm that the Lord is referring to here, the rain that descended and the floods that came? Well, friends, some people say it's the temptations and the trials of life. Perhaps it's included. But really, it's something much more serious than that. This is a storm of all storms. This is something torrential, a violent storm, you could say. That's very damaging. And of course, it must speak only, really, of the day of judgment. The storm is the day of judgment. The day of judgment, friend, is when we are all examined by God and examined according to whether we did or we didn't do what Christ has said. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of the day of judgment being a day when the fire shall test every man's work. Here it is, the floods. Paul speaks of it as the fire. Every man's work is going to be tested. Every man's life is going to be tested. The man who built his life upon the word of Christ, only he shall stand. That's what Christ says. Only he shall stand. The woman who builds her life upon the word of Christ, she shall stand in the day of judgment. She shall pass the test. Not because they are great, not because they are wonderful, not because of what they did, but by grace they were saved and they listened to Christ and they followed and did what he said. But then there's the other man, and the foolish man, Christ calls him. Well, who is he? Who does he represent? Well, he represents the one who based his life on anything else but Christ's sayings. And he's on very shaky ground. His whole approach to life perhaps has been his own conjectures, his own reasonings, anything else but Christ's teachings. We could name a few. I mean, the Pharisees themselves, they built their life, they based their life on their own traditions. And they were guided in the way they worshiped God, the way they dealt with each other, the way they lived their lives, by their own traditions. For us, maybe something different. For many people today, it's false religion. It's even cultish. The cult are guiding many people down the wrong path. Or maybe some other kind of human philosophy. Some people today, well, they're into Stoicism, even today. Some people, Stoicism, it comes up with some good rules, some good ideas about how to live your life, how to deal with your feelings, how to deal with your anger, how to deal with your covetousness and your desires. It may give you some direction. And you say, that's good. I'll take that. I'll adopt that for my life. Some people, it's humanism. And, we know God. We just believe in man and what man can do and what man is able to achieve. Everything is man-centered. Some people's philosophy for life, friends, is, it's a quiet life. I'm a person who doesn't like to rock the boat. You don't rock my boat, I won't rock your boat. And they live, go through life in this way. That's okay. That's all I want, people say, a quiet life. Some people, some friends, they build their whole life upon self. Instead of Christ's sayings, it's based upon themselves. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? Now this marriage, it's seen its day. I no longer love this other person. I no longer feel anything in it. I'm out of here. I'm out of this marriage. There's nothing in it left for me. Oh, what about this job? How will it please me? How will it advance me? How will it enrich me? That's all I'm thinking about. My income, well, it's all there for myself, to treat myself. Pleasure, oh, I've got to entertain myself. Life is all based around me, I, what I want, what I desire. And how we decide things is based upon self. Some people base their whole life upon feelings. How you feel about things. Where shall I go? Well, how do I feel about where shall I go? The place where I want to go to. Shall I work hard tomorrow? Depends if I feel like it. If I don't feel like it, I won't. I'll go to work, but I'll do it in a slovenly manner. You don't say that. How will I treat others? Politely, gently, kindly. Depends how I feel about them. Feeling-based. Oh, friends, the basis for all their thinking, feeling, action is their own feeling. Perhaps it's the love of money. That's a driving force of people. They want more money. And this is what they regulate their whole life by. Oh, friends, what will happen to such a person whom the Lord really calls foolish? That house will come crashing down, and great will be the fall of it. Here is the man, it will be said on the day of judgment. Here is the man who made not the Lord his trust. He depended on something other than Christ's sayings. He depended upon very shaky foundation. And now he's tested by the fire, by the flood, and he's found wanting. Now the writing is on the wall. Now his judgment has become clear. He based all that he based his own life on is swept away on that day. He sat in judgment of the word. He had his own ideas about Christ, perhaps, and his teachings. And now that word judges him. Now thy word sits in judgment about of him and condemns him because he made not the Lord Jesus his trust and his ways. I'm sure this foolish man, when his house came crashing to the ground, he must have realized. He must have been filled with shame, isn't it? He must have been so embarrassed, is a light word. He must have been filled with shame. And his folly of building, wanting to get his house up so quickly and building on the sand, would have been exposed to everyone around him, all the neighbors. He would have become a laughing stock. Oh, friends, on that day of judgment, will it not be so that many who will realize on that time, oh, what a fool I've been. Christ was there. I heard the gospel. I heard about his life. I heard about a higher life. I heard about a life of communion with God. I heard about a life of reconciliation with God that was offered to me again and again. I heard these things from the pulpit, from my friends who told me about these things, who persuaded me, but I refused to listen to them. I refused to take on board. I thought I knew better, but now look at me. Look where I am. I'm lost. I'm condemned forever. Everything I've based my whole life on has been swept away, and my house has come crashing down. And I have nothing else. I'm just now in this state, and I'm filled with shame and condemnation. Oh, friends, what a startling picture. What a warning from the Lord for us. And in such a way, the Lord Jesus closes this sermon on the Mount. Be doers of his sayings and not hearers only. Oh, verses 28 to 29, very quickly, and then I close. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught them with authority. His preaching, it was very natural, very dignified, earnest, very pleasant as well, we could say. It was nice to hear the Lord preach. I'm sure no one was sleeping, no one was distracted when he was preaching, but everyone was wide-eyed, awake, and attentive on the edge of their seats. Oh, we wish, every preacher wishes he could preach as the Lord did, because we struggle getting your attention, and we have to really work at it to get your attention. But Christ, what a preacher. I'm sure you wish you could have sat under his ministry. I'm sure you could wish, because the way he said it, the things he said were wonderful, but the way he said it also was also touched people's hearts. And he spoke with authority. Here, a comparison is made between what the way he preached and the way the scribes preached. The scribes, you know, when they preached, they were full of quotations in their messages. Rabbi so-and-so says this. Did you know Rabbi so-and-so says this? Oh, I remember Rabbi so-and-so says this and this. That's how they preached. They were full of old quotations from the past. Jesus said, I say unto you, I say unto you. Authority. This is a man who speaks with conviction. This is a man who speaks as a witness of the things that he has heard. He knows what he is talking about. He knows what he has seen. He speaks with that authority. He knows where he came from, and he knows who sent him. He knows the mission that he is on, and all this comes through in his preaching. The scribes, oh, they touched on trivial things. Don't do this. Wash the outside of the cup. Make sure you wash your hands before you eat. The Lord spoke on much weightier matters. Heaven to be gained, hell to be shunned, the day of judgment, eternity, the soul, all these things, so much weightier than the scribes. And in this way, we could say he spoke with authority. Well, the people recognized it. And that also should have moved them to respond to what he said. If there's such a man speaks in such a way, we must do something about it. We must respect what he says, but we must also take on board and apply the things that he says. Oh, friends, same for us, isn't it? This is also for us. As believers, we are called to hear the words of Christ, see who says them, the Son of God, and put our whole trust in him and in faith in his word. Oh, may the Lord help us to do these things. Let's close by singing our final hymn, number 468. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. 468.